So last week, we looked at Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, and we considered how Paul's boldness, how his willingness to go out and go straight into the places where he suffered so much, has impacted the life of Timothy, and how that impact on his life would come around to the point that the Apostle Paul, towards the end of his life, would experience the strengthening of having Timothy there with him at the end to be an encouragement to build up and to strengthen him as his time on earth was coming to an end. But as I read through Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, I saw something that was extremely strange to me. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. So I want to read it together again and then talk about it. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, it says, "They came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they all knew that his father was Greek." Now, when I look at this, I'm left with a question. Why would Paul circumcise Timothy? That's the first point. Why would Paul circumcise Timothy? Here he is. His father's Greek, and he's Gentile. And he's going back to these churches to bring a letter to them from the apostle that says, what? Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. They don't need to have this happen to them to go through this process. So I'm thinking to myself, why on earth is this happening? I mean, this is something that Paul feels powerful about. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, it says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than the one that we have preached, the one that you ever see, let him be accursed." Well, what is different gospel? It's the Judaizing teachers. How many of them are telling them, in order to be saved, you have to be circumcised? So, Paul is saying that people who are teaching the doctrine of circumcision for Gentiles are people that should be considered cursed. He takes it even further in Galatians 5:12. He says, "I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off." Now, when you go back to the Greek and look at this, cut themselves off, it means mutilate themselves. Basically, Paul was saying, you're becoming so much of a problem, you see the eyes of teachers over circumcision, that really can make yourself nervous. That's how angry and frustrated he is over these people coming in and causing problems for the Gentiles who are living in this area. So I look at it and I think to myself, there's such strong feelings about this issue, and a letter from the Apostle Paul, or from the apostles, telling them, don't circumcise them. Why on earth is he choosing to do this? Well, it's confusing to me, and I imagine it's probably a little confusing to you too. It was also confusing for the church in Galatia, because some would accuse Paul of keeping circumcision. In Galatians 5, verse 11, it says, "And I, brethren, if I still keep circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? In the offense of the cross, I see." You see, people look at this circumstance and say, what is Paul doing? The Gentile, the uncircumcised, is being taken and being circumcised. Well, why would he do it?
One thing that I think is important for us to realize, though, is that Jewish believers were still to be circumcised. You know, when I preached earlier about the worldview change of the Jewish believers, I preached it to you because you're Gentiles. As far as I know, nobody here is of Jewish descent, okay? So when I talk to you about how their worldview has changed, I was talking from a perspective of how that impacts us as believers. We don't have to do this. We don't have to be circumcised. But for the Jewish believers, it was a very different story. Circumcision was still a part of the customs that the Jewish believers were expected to follow. You know, when we look at this letter, what does it say? To be Gentiles. And Peter stood up to defend, not promoting circumcision. He said the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit when they were uncircumcised. We call it Barnabas. Came to Jerusalem and defended their work. What did they say? This is what the Holy Spirit has done through the Gentiles who are uncircumcised. So the whole process, everything coming through, is specifically talking to the Gentiles. But for Jewish believers, they were expected to continue to live as they were called. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, says, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches, was anyone called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling as he was called. See, Paul was not teaching the Jewish believers to abandon the customs of their people. He wasn't telling them not to observe the Sabbath. He wasn't telling them not to go to the temple. He wasn't telling them not to perform the rituals and things that they had done before. He was simply preaching and teaching the Gentiles as God had called them to. And Paul himself even continued to teach the customs of the Jewish people. You notice that he consistently was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In Acts 13:14, we see this when he was in Antioch and Pisidia. When he was in Philippi, he went down to the riverside where prayers were being offered on the Sabbath in Acts 16:13. And he'd do the same thing in Thessalonica and Corinth that he was preaching to them there. So when Paul was living out his life, he hadn't completely abandoned who he used to be. And he even made sure that when people made accusations that he was telling the Jewish people to abandon the customs that they were taught, to correct that idea. In Acts chapter 21, verses 18 through 24, and verse 26, it says, on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he agreed with them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed? And they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them to be purified with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself are also walk in an orderly, walk orderly and keep the law. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. You see, Paul wasn't trying to to cause the Jewish people to give up their customs. Okay? He was, in this aspect, just a messenger to the Gentiles and teaching them that they did not have to become Israelites, they didn't have to become proselytes to be saved. Now, why bring this up? Because Timothy's mother was Jewish. Okay? Timothy's mother was Jewish. And so this creates a very different dichotomy. Now, if you look at the tradition, well, first let's look at the Bible. And over again, it was very clear that when the children of Israel were coming back in the Second Temple time frame, that a lot of them had taken pagan wives. Now, pagan doesn't just simply mean that they were Gentiles. It means that they were worshiping other gods and they were not honoring the God of Israel. And so what these men were called to do in Ezra 10 was to put those wives away, to put their family away, because they were to be set apart unto God. They were to be His people. And so when we look at the circumstances of Timothy's life, Timothy's father is Greek. Timothy's father did not have him circumcised. So what this means is that Timothy, by all means, is a Gentile. He grew up as a Gentile, and his relationship being around shouldn't have existed. His mother never should have married a Gentile. J.W. McGarvey points out in his commentary on Acts that the Jewish rabbis taught that the mother should not circumcise the child without the consent of the father, which was to admit that his circumcision was not obligatory. So basically McGarvey is telling us there is that he had no obligation to be circumcised. He was outside of the Jewish people, and if the father didn't want it, there was no need for it. So if there's no need for the circumcision, if there's no point in him being circumcised, why do it? Why do it? And the answer is the beautiful part. The first part of the history lesson, how does that apply to your life? I don't know if it's cool to know. But what comes next is what we need to understand. We see Paul pursued love over liberty. See, he's left with a question that doesn't have a right answer. There's no right answer to this. See, if he was thinking totally a Gentile, then it's an easy answer. Cut the letter right there, don't do it. There's no need to be circumcised. If Timothy was totally of Jewish descent, we have no question. It was a custom. It was something that wasn't even just the law of Moses. It was a commandment came down from the time of Abraham. Okay? So he should have been circumcised. But Paul was left in a position where there isn't a right answer. Because what do you do with somebody who's neither a Jew or a Gentile? How do you make that right? How do you make that work? In a gray area like this. And the beauty of it is that Paul, when there was no clear answer, chose the path of unity and love. Because Paul looked at the environment around him, a Gentile would have no ability to speak in the synagogue. No ability to speak in the synagogue. So if Paul goes into a synagogue anywhere, and Timothy is not circumcised, he has to sit in the back. And remember we were talking about that? We were looking at Antioch, how they were all back. They were either at the back of the synagogue, or they even sometimes created locks so that they were alienated. That's where Timothy would be an uncircumcised man. If Paul understood that the Jews in the area would have a problem with Timothy coming in and preaching, and so Paul loved the Jewish people in the area enough to say, you know what, Timothy, this is what you need to do. You need to be circumcised because I need you there with me. When we're weeping in the synagogue, I need you right here, right on our side. Now I want to make something very, very clear, too. When it says the Jews in that area, it doesn't say the Jewish believers. It doesn't say the Judaizers had a problem with it. He is talking about the Jews who have not come to accept Jesus as their Savior. They needed someone to come in such a way that they could be open to hearing what was said. You know, a lot of times, people go out with their faith, and they go out sanctimoniously. You need what I have. Well, is that true? Yeah, absolutely. Everybody needs what we have. But we have to meet people where they are. We have to find them in the place where they can meet Jesus. So the Apostle Paul makes this very clear in 1 Corinthians 19, or 9, verses 19 through 23. Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant of all that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, and without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things for all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker with you. See, Paul was under no scriptural obligation to do this. And didn't he then? He became uncircumcised. Isn't that what Paul said? If you became circumcised, don't become uncircumcised. If you became uncircumcised, don't become circumcised. It means nothing. But he was willing to do what needed to be done to make sure that people could be reached with the gospel message. See, God gives us freedom in our lives. He gives us freedom to go places, to do things. He doesn't limit us as to where we can go. There may be places I can go that you can't go. Okay? If I don't have a problem with drinking, I might be able to go meet somebody in a bar and be okay, whereas if somebody's an alcoholic, they should stay out of that bar. Stay as far away from it as they possibly can. We may not all be able to go to the same places, and we may not all be comfortable going to the same places, and that's okay. But the reality is that Paul is telling us with this message, this powerful message that we have, how can we possibly not be willing to try and meet people where they are? To the homeless, I go to the homeless. To the drunkard, I go where the drunkard is. To the prostitute, I go down to that street corner and try and reach. I go where they are and I become what I need to become so that they can hear the gospel message. You see, this liberty is available in Christ. We have freedom. In Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 13, Paul explains this liberty. He talks about how we have liberty in the things that we eat, because the question keeps coming up about meat sacrificed to idols. He says, listen, whether you eat meat and you feel comfortable about that, or you become a vegetarian because you're too concerned that the meat's been offered to idols. That wasn't a help choice like today, I'm going to go vegan. They were these people who were only eating vegetables were doing it because they were concerned about the meat. Am I eating meat sacrificed to idols? And so when we look at this, he's telling them it doesn't matter. Please don't eat. It doesn't matter. Observing days. A lot of people were still teaching that you needed to observe the festival, the Jewish festival. He's saying one day means something to one person, it means something else to another. And it doesn't matter. You have liberty in these areas. Liberty to go and liberty to move. But our liberty comes with the purpose. You see, a lot of people want to take that liberty and go, don't you judge me. You can't judge me for going here and doing this and doing that. Don't you judge me. Okay? We have that liberty, but the liberty that we're given is for a purpose and a place. See, Paul says in Romans 14, verses 14 through 15, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but the one who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Plain and simple. Our liberty is to reach people for Christ. Our freedom is to go out and to help others to find a message of hope, to realize that there's something better for them than what they have. Sometimes people want it just so that they can keep living the way that they used to live. You can't judge me for going here. They're not actually here for a purpose. They're there because they want to have fun. They're not there thinking about how do I reach somebody for Jesus Christ? Lord, how can I serve you in this circumstance? How can I be a blessing to the people that are around me? We have these opportunities and these liberties and this freedom, but they mean nothing if we don't love people enough to share the gospel message. They mean nothing if I am more concerned about what I want. Well, the Bible doesn't say I can't, therefore I don't care what you say. I want to know if something I'm doing is hurting you so that if I can change it, then I can do that. And I want to have an opportunity to share with you why. Why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why am I in this place? We have to understand that the most important thing is the gospel message. It's that simple. What did he say? It's the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul tells us in the book of Romans. This is what we live for. This is what we stand on. Timothy needed to be circumcised in order to be who God called him to be. And so even though he could have stood up and said, Paul, I don't have to do this, he became circumcised. And I have to ask you the same question. How far are you willing to go to share the gospel message? How long are you willing to stretch yourself up to that person at work that makes you uncomfortable? To be that person who is a light, the person who smells funny, who looks funny, who acts wrong. How far are you willing to go to show the love of Christ to those people? Because that's why Jesus, that's why God gave you your liberty, is to be that vessel of light to the world that's around you. We all got it. We understood. Even though this didn't have to happen, that if we could just save some of those Jewish believers, that it was worth it for a little bit of pain, for maybe to suffer just a little bit, to experience the opportunity to share the gospel. What can we not suffer in the mindset and understanding of what Jesus suffered for us? Can we take a little pain in order to do who we need to be to reach others, to be the Christ? We have to be the kind of people that reach others where we are. Not saying the only way I'm going to hang out with you is if you come with me to church. Saying, let's go get coffee. Where are you going to be? Let me meet you there. My prayer is that we're that kind of people. That we're the kind of people that we go wherever we need to go to make sure that in our life there is no one that doesn't know the love of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you haven't given your life to Christ, we want to offer you that opportunity. There is no greater choice that you will make in your life. No more important choice that you will make in your life than to say, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. to look and to say, I'm ready to give up me. I'm ready to die to myself. I'm ready to stop living this life that is broken and not working, and I am ready to walk into Him. If you are ready to do that today, if you're ready to die yourself, be buried with Him, and rise to a new life, we want to give you that opportunity today. Today is the appointed day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, for no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord will come again. Your salvation needs to be important to you this moment. If you've not made that commitment, if you've not been baptized, forgiven of your sins, and raised with the gift of the Holy Spirit, today is the day to do that. Can you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you so much for your love, for the fact that you care enough about us to give us eternal life. And Lord, I just thank you so much that you reveal to us through the Apostle Paul and through Timothy how important it is for us to meet people where they are. That even if there's things that we don't have to do, even if there's things that are not commanded, that we love others so much that we're willing to put ourselves aside, to put our comfort aside, to put our wants aside, to be the kind of people who will reach out and find people where they are. Lord, we don't have to look far for broken people. We don't have to look far for damage in all of us. But there is healing that comes through your Son. Lord, I pray that if there is any here who has not accepted Jesus, who has not put you on in baptism, put your Son on in baptism, I pray that they'll make that choice today. Say you go open your hearts and allow them to be ready to receive all of the beautiful gifts that you promised. And Lord, I pray for us as a congregation that you'll help us to search our hearts and see if there's any unclean way and if there's some way that we can be reaching out to people that we're not. I pray that you will convict us and help us to move with courage, to watch, to confess in the face, to be brave, to be strong. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Son and Amen. Thank you.